Welcome to Bedknobs and Broomflicks, the podcast that talks about witches, man-witches, warlocks, sorcerers, and other magic practitioners in movies, television, comic books, books, and just about everything. Sometimes we also talk about witches in history, and sorry, this show will include spoilers. You've been warned. But if you haven't seen it, it's still streaming on Netflix. Go check it out. Just promise you'll come back to us. My name is Linda, and I am on a mission from Gwad.
And my name is Jane, and I don't understand how you can hate Fawlty Towers.
Yes! I mean, some of the stuff's a little...
Oh, no, it aged. It did not age well.
Yeah.
It really did not age well, but... And I am not looking forward to the revival of Fawlty Towers, so...
I think I was going to say I forgot about that, but I think I just pushed it out of my mind.
Yeah, I think it exists just fine in the two seasons that it existed. And it's silly and hilarious, and it's John Cleese at his best, but John Cleese is now a man, either late 70s, early 80s, and I have no idea what kind of comedic chops his daughter actually has, and... Yeah, that is exactly where I'm going to leave that. Because
it's like also kind of like we didn't need another Beetlejuice, but it's coming anyway.
Well, we also didn't need a revival of Frasier in my mind with only Kelsey Grammer coming back. But I don't know. I'm on the Frasier Reddit board and kind of seeing like how people were reacting. I think it's out now. I haven't watched it yet. But I don't know, maybe I'll probably check it out at some point.
I love Frasier, but I am not a fan of Kelsey Grammer.
Oh, no. It's not. Yeah. For me, it's like I just want to see like kind of like if I was going to watch, I want to see where they actually try and take the character. Mm. But at the same time, just like honestly, like David Hyde Pierce and John Mahoney and Harry Gilpin, like they really did help make that show great.
Well, if like, it was just Frasier, I think it would be annoying.
Yes, well, because he's a pompous jackass. Like Niles and is a pompous jackass.
He could be
jackass.
Needy too.
Exactly, Niles is a pompous jackass, but he does kind of sort himself out. Somebody actually pointed out. I want to say it was Matt Mira, who's also like a Frasier fan.
Oh, yeah.
That the joke is always that even though both Niles and Frasier are psychiatrists, Niles is actually the better psychiatrist. He actually has the whether you accept the fact that he's a good person, especially in the early seasons with Daphne, he is actually seems to have more of a not maybe compassion, but he doesn't make the people that he's talking to, it doesn't become an expression of himself then. Like, when you do get to see him in sessions, it actually does seem to communicate that he is an analytical person. Who, this is becoming the Frasier podcast, and there's already a really good one out there. But I'm just saying, you know, like, again, revivals. We're talking about all these different revivals that I'm just like,
I got to call my friend Derek from the Frasier Files over to the show.
I don't know. It's like, I don't feel like we need it. I like to live in the idea that in the end he ran off to be with Charlotte, even though I know that's not going to happen because he's going to F it up some way or another. But yeah, no, it's, and again, it's hard when you have some of these other characters just missing. So
talking about other Liliths.
Oh God.
Today we are talking about chapter 17 of The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. We are back, baby. We're talking about chapter 17, The Missionaries. It's season 2, episode 6.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We're slowly winding out as I keep telling Linda, this is probably like the best season. And then it starts to decline. Not a horrible decline up until like the last two episodes of the fourth season. I will stand by this, and I'll stand by this to the very end. I think that they had a longer term plan, and then they got canceled, and then they had to rush.
Mm.
And I will keep saying that and I don't know if it's me trying to defend this whole series. I'm just being very honest with the fact that I enjoyed this, and then it feels like something went off the rails, similar to how it went off the rails when they ran out of books for the Game of Thrones. Don't at me. It has now been decided that, yes, it did go off the rails, unlike some people in the very beginning who were like, no, it ended just the way it should have. And foreshadowing is totally the same as character development. No, foreshadowing is not character development. Foreshadowing is just foreshadowing. It could also be a red herring. Do you know what those are? Fuck. Goddamn,
like people communism.
Anyways, yes. I do like this episode. I also think that there's a lot of just absolute tragic moments in here that also build to later on even sadder moments. So, but I don't get to talk about those because Linda is not watched all of them yet.
Yeah. I was eager to watch this. And because the last one, it almost felt like a season finale because it was just, it would have been a phenomenal cliffhanger because so much shit happened in the last one. But this one, it starts off a little slow. And I was just like, okay, right. Yep. Okay. Lilith is going to play hooky from school/work. And she wants to spend the day with Adam. Like, okay. Why is this even a thing?
Fiance. I mean, it is something. And again, this is one of those things where it's like, I can't tell anything about the future, but it definitely is a lead up to other things that happen.
Oh, for sure. But at first I was thinking like, why is this just filler? Like why the hell is this in here? But then you find out that Adam wants her to leave Greendale and go with him to another not Doctors Without Borders, Doctors Without Frontiers.
Yeah, thank you. I couldn't remember what they wrote down, but yes.
Yeah, he wants her to go with him to Tibet. And she's seriously thinking about it, and Stolas is there, and he's just kind of like, whatever, flap, 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 flap. And then, and that was Stolas is her bird Pet familiar. Bird. I did not say fap, fap, fap. I said flap, 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 just to be clear.
A raven familiar.
Stolas was jerking himself and watching them in the tree
with his one weird wing in an awkward position. But yeah, no, and of course Adam doesn't know that Lilith is, you know, disguising herself as Miss Wardwell, and he's just playing off as like, oh well, you know, the school is like totally doesn't appreciate your talents. And of course there's obviously like a hidden meme behind it, because Lilith is saying, like, yes, Satan does not appreciate my talents. You're right. Maybe I should look for employment elsewhere.
And like, I think she's specifically talking about like all the work the thankless work she's put into Sabrina. And like, she has a little slip there, and she says something like, you know, some days she just like the school.
Yeah, exactly.
But she finally, they're having a romantic meal, and she says yes to him that she'll go to Tibet with him.
Well, she doesn't exactly directly say yes. Adam says, so it's a yes then. And she goes like, how do you know I'm going to say yes? And it's like, and that's when she says yes. So.
And he's like, she's in love with him now. And like, she's in the last episode? Couple episodes ago, she gave him a ring to protect him from Satan and from being seen by Satan.
Yeah.
But now she's eating the rest of her meal, and
a nice steak dinner.
Yes, a lovely steak dinner, and she finds the ring, and her mouth that she was chewing on. She's like, "How did this get in there?" And then Adam turns into the Dark Lord.
Yep. Lilith can't have nice things is basically what it comes down to. Because Lilith is Satan's property. And that's yes. This is Lilith plot line is, and her character arc is just a series of horrible ups and downs. And sometimes she comes off as being absolutely cruel and you don't really want to root for her. And then there are other times where it's like, God, just fucking hell. God.
Yes. Like this, like she, she finds out because Satan lifts the cloche from the plate or platter, and you see Adam's head. And he tells her that basically, like Jane was saying, that she's his property. She doesn't get to go away. She made a commitment to him. And to finish her plate of Adam. So,
yeah.
So she's been eating him, and then furthermore she finds out that, because she's like, I gave him the ring, how did Satan find out about Adam? And then there's Stolas being like,
ka ka ka. He's like right at the window, almost being so obvious. He's like, ka ka ka.
It's like, me, bitch.
Which this is the one part where I was like, you know, why did she trust the bird that Lucifer brought back to life for her as a gift?
And the one that Lucifer brought back after she killed it.
So, yes.
I mean, like, how loyal is that bird going to be to you?
Yeah, it's like, that was kind of, and I actually wrote down, I was like, I couldn't come up with a better word than just dumb. Really, really dumb.
Yeah.
It's like, could this possibly be a spy? Yes. Should have just been the reaction to that. Yes.
Well, yeah. It's like, I guess like here and there you get these little tastes of how Lilith can be impulsive, and she doesn't think things through. She just like takes out her anger. And in that one instance, she killed Stolas, but when Lucifer brought Stolas back, she seemed really relieved because Stolas has been her companion throughout, you know, thousands of years.
Stolas and Lilith relationship, it's complicated.
Exactly. But, yeah, so... that did have a purpose, and she ends her arc saying, or little story for the episode, saying that she is basically going to get revenge by taking away someone, or the one that Satan loves.
Yeah.
So it sounds like she's plotting again against Sabrina.
Yeah. And I'm trying, like I said, I'm trying to remember exactly how this fully ends, because, I just won't spoil anything in this case for you. For everybody else later on, we'll spoil, but clearly. Now, I would like to now move on, because like you said, it starts slowly with the Lilith and Adam plot line. But I do like in the very beginning, because right now when we left off also, like, Zelda and Blackwood got married and they're off. So the academy is being left in the care of the Weird Sisters. Sabrina and Nick have been expelled, so they can't enter the school. So, and Sabrina tries to enter the school, and her hands get burned. And she's trying to enter it because Ambrose is in the witch's cell in the academy, and Prudence
being
is
held
basically
prisoner.
Being held for future execution, because he is the one they said murdered the anti-pope.
And Prudence is kind of back to being nasty with Sabrina again, since she's finally being accepted by Blackwood as his child.
Yeah, she's finally Prudence Blackwood. So, which was a big deal that she wanted that name. Now, of course, again, Prudence, manipulation. Blackwood's manipulating you. Why can't you see through this? You're usually super smart. Are you really this vain to need a name?
I think it's just one of those things where it's like, she's just so, like, she is brilliant, but she's also so desperate for the love and acceptance.
Yes.
From the father.
Yeah. And even though it, yeah, as an adopted child, I can both sympathize with that, but then I know that she also has her sisters, and as you get older, whether it becomes people who adopted you, whether it becomes friends, whether it becomes maybe you meet your biological family later on and certain ones, you kind of then, you almost get an opportunity to make your own family. And, you know, and maybe your biological family won't accept you anymore, but then you look back and go like, oh, well, I have all these like people who actually do care about me and took care of me and are with me. And Prunus hasn't gone to that point yet. Clearly she still is desperately seeking out the love and affection of her biological father, even though she does clearly have sisters who care about her deeply to the point where she abuses them.
Okay. And she considers them really her sisters.
Oh yeah.
And
even though they were just like gutter witches or something, what did all the black would call them?
Is kind of nasty. Well, not kind of, she's nasty to them.
Oh yeah, no, the two things I do want to kind of call out about Prudence in this episode is one, when Sabrina comes up to the door and her hands burn, and Sabrina tries to reason with Prudence to let her see, to let Sabrina see Ambrose. And she's like, come on, I thought we were friends. And Prudence's like, no.
Yes.
We were fucking friends. We were only friends when you needed me, you know? And
that's like, exactly what I wanted to bring up. And I'm so glad that you did, because like Prudence is totally right. Let's see, I have in my notes that Prudence brings up the great point that Sabrina only comes to the weird sisters when she needs something.
Yeah. And Sabrina tries to counter with, well, I saved you from
death. I saved your life from the, was it the, ugh.
Yeah, my brain broke on that one too. But when she was going to be made the queen, they were going to consume Prudence and stuff. And turns out it was a ploy by the former, now deceased Lady Blackwood to remove Prudence as a competition. But even Prudence was like, yeah, you did that for yourself. I was like, yeah, she did kind of do it for herself.
She did. And that's, I think
she would try to do it for any witch, because she has that moral compass that does get a little bit too high and mighty, even though this one is a reasonable one to follow.
Well, you and I have talked about it before. I mean, it's been a while, but we've talked about how she is kind of like kind of high and mighty, and she's like, everything she does, even the good stuff, just seems to be, it's like to serve herself in some sense as well. And she's a bit of a prude too, you know?
She's judgy. She's very, very judgy.
So fucking judgy. And then she's like, I thought we were friends, you evil bitch. Evil slut.
And then Bruce is like, no, we're never friends. And basically, fuck off, go away. But then, like, my other favorite is, like, so Prudence goes down into, well, first Dorcas comes down to give Ambrose gruel, and Ambrose is, you know, doing pull-ups, basically saying, I've been in prisoner for how many years, you're not going to fuck with me, so.
And he's all muscly and, like, glisteny from the sweat and all, like,
Dorcas is
yummy.
Hardcore flirting with her, and it's.
Prudence. Oh, she's getting herself an eyeful. She's like, sploosh.
Oh, yeah. Once Prudence comes in and says the actual line, get away from my sister, and pushes Dorcas.
Yes!
Doesn't push Ambrose away.
Dorcas, I love that. I thought, like, what an amazing, like, way to epitomize Prudence. You know, get away from my sister. There, take that, Dorcas.
It's like, it's normally, like, it's like, get away from my sister involves pushing the person that you don't want away from your sister away. It's like,
but then again, like, she tells her that desperation doesn't look good on her.
But even then, I think it's still a territorial thing. Prudence still very much has the hots for Ambrose. So, to be fair,
you think
who
so?
Blames her? Oh, yeah. Yeah, she does.
They are, they are a really hot couple.
They are. Oh, yeah, they are. But yes. So, and then Prudence basically sends in some messed up Cenobite from Hellraiser in to torture Ambrose. Let's be fair. That's what he looks like. Okay.
It's true. It's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus wept.
And then, yeah. And again, this is like a high level of Sabrina not listening to and obeying people's wishes, because Sabrina like realizes, well, I can't go back to the academy, and Nick's drinking himself to death at Dorian. So I'm gonna go back to school and be with my friends. And she finds out, she finds out that like Roz has gone completely blind from Theo and Harvey, and she goes to see Roz, and she. This pissed me off on so many levels, because it's, you know, she's talking to Roz and she's complaining because Roz is not in the classroom. She's in the library listening to books on tape and everything.
About the Children's Crusade, which is what they're talking about in the class.
Yeah, like Theo's giving a really good presentation about it, as best as Theo can, because Theo's obviously pretty nervous about being public speaker and everything. But yeah, it's.
But he does a great job.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, good information. But you can tell towards the end, it's like, okay, class is running out. And it's like, oh, but then but that's what's normal. I mean, it was very authentic to the giving a presentation to your class experience. So good job is all I'm saying.
Yes, yes.
But yeah, so and Sabrina learns from Harvey and Theo that Roz has gone blind and runs to the library because that's where Roz is. And Sabrina is... appalled that Roz is in a library isolated from everybody else, and she wants to go and tell Miss Wardwell that, oh, you can't treat Roz like this. And Roz tries to stop her and say, like, no, wait. It's like, Sabrina, Roz was trying to explain to you that, and then even Miss Wardwell says the same thing, going like, no, that's what Roz wanted. She didn't want, you know, and Roz then explains, like, I don't want to people to freak out, the blind girl starts screaming, or, you know, all, you know, start commenting, whispering. She doesn't want to, you know, be looked at. So she chose that, but Sabrina just bulldozes over Roz's wishes and be like, no, this is a disgrace. This is an injustice.
It's like also another great example of like what we were talking about before and her being kind of like a goody two shoes. And like a prude who's just always like, no, but this isn't right, you know, type of thing. And like, she's still like, Roz is like, I don't want to be in the classroom. And she's like, but that's not right. You shouldn't be stuck in here. And it's like, Sabrina, let it fucking go. Like, it's not right for you, but you know, maybe for them.
For Roz, it's more comfortable to her. That's, and it's, again, it's her wishes. It may not be the, you know, it may be a choice that isn't helpful, but you also have to let her deal with what she's dealing with. This has been therapy. This has been therapy seconds with Jane. Let the people deal with their problems. And if they need help, let them come to you. Especially in this case. If they are really seeking injustice, let them talk to you. Don't force what you think is justice on them.
Well, and in that case, like, I don't know, because, I mean, you could make the argument, yeah, it's like to a different degree, but how is she any different from the missionaries / witch hunters that come in?
Yeah, which we'll get to very soon. I do want to bring up one other thing, because... because you know how later on, like, Sabrina tries to make just, like, a basic charm for Roz. And so, yes. Like, hey, maybe I can, like, heal your sight and everything. And, you know, Harvey's like...
It's a comfort charm.
No. But, yeah, it gives a comfort charm. But, like, and Sabrina leaves. And Roz and Harvey kind of go down this path of... Sabrina's still there. But they kind of go down this path of, like, well, did... Like, you know, witches did kind of curse my family, the women in the family, to go blind. And
she does, like, it seems cruel, but she does make a good point where she says, like, I was fine. And then all of a sudden, after kissing your ex-boyfriend, like, immediately after kissing your ex-boyfriend, I'm fully blind. Like, I mean...
Yeah, no,
she's wrong, but I couldn't blame her for thinking that.
She is very wrong, especially with, again, things that I know in the future.
So, yeah.
But she's that in that case, it is, yes, very wrong. But Theo, like, desperately trying to say, hey, like, in telling Harvey and Roz, you're being idiots to think that Sabrina would purposefully curse Roz with blindness. And the list that he goes down is kind of, like, funny. Like, you're like, yes, yes. Okay. Well, okay, let's be fair. The positive ones that Theo lists, okay, got Harvey's dad to stop drinking. Awesome job. Save the town. Awesome job. Help me get on the basketball team. I don't know if Sabrina helped me cheat.
Yeah, but it was like a nice little nod to, like, yeah, I saw her there. I know that she did it. Because you were left thinking, like, does Theo even know? But I felt that was kind of just like, I mean, yeah, totally different degrees there, but I feel like that was just his way of saying, like, she's done a lot of good. Like, she hasn't done, like, anything evil that we're aware of.
Yeah, it was just such a, like, a funny sort of thing. It's like, okay, yes, I understand that it was good for you. I don't know if it's the... It's that whole justice thing we just talked about. Yes, it was nice to watch you show up those pricks on the basketball team. But again... Anyways.
That's fair.
Yes. So, and then... Because again, I'm just going to go through the rest of the episode because we do jump around with... Especially since, you know, it starts to come together. Because you've also got Hilda sans Zelda. And... Again, Hilda. Yeah. Hilda is the goddamn rock of the family. I know that Zelda likes to portray herself as, but she is honestly the goddamn rock. And she's also trying to go and see Ambrose. And of course, the weird sisters won't let her see him. And so she brings a chicken and stuff. And it's like a big, huge chicken. And
because she says, I went to that school and I remember that I remember the food from the cafeteria, basically.
Yeah, it just absolutely sucked. So she brings it and, you know, at first she says, like, hey, can I please just give my nephew, you know, this chicken roast with like potatoes and stuff. And Prudence just basically says, like, you know, like, no, F you. You're not going to get to see Ambrose. And she says, you want to really torture that boy? Eat the whole thing and throw the bones at him. That'll make him feel awful for his life. Which, of course, is like, hint, hint. Yeah. This is going to be important later if these three actually follow through with this plan.
Yes. That will really do him. Yeah, that'll break his spirit.
Exactly.
But don't know why I'm telling you this.
They even try to do like glamour spells. Like Agatha comes and dresses Ambrose, or, you know, is glamored as Ambrose. And of course, Hilda sees like right through that. And what was Hilda's
because
question?
They were being really bad actors.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The glamored Ambrose comes out and says, I have to admit that I'm guilty. I did something wrong. And, you know, it's like, it brings me back to the memory of Dorcas in the play.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're not good actors. Well, the characters aren't good actors.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, I think it's a, I'm trying to remember her name, the actress who plays Dorcas. Abigail Cohen, or is
Abigail? Yeah, Cohen. And I've got to say, while we're on the subject, she's a great actress. Still not in the opening credits.
Oh yes, no. It takes, I think, the third season she finally ends up being credited in the credits.
It's so bizarre to me because they show Tati Gabrielle Prudence, which makes sense. But then they also show Adeline Rudolph, who plays Agatha, but no Abigail Cohen, no love for her.
It's weird.
It's not like she has like a lesser role than.
Yeah, no, she's just as much Weird Sister as well. I don't know like what there's somebody out there who can definitely say like why somebody gets guest starring versus somebody gets, like credits and everything. It's just, I'd like if somebody would actually tell me what would have been this reason to make Abigail Cohen just guest starring for basically, because she's pretty much been guest starring almost every single episode that Prudence has also been part of, or at the very least every single episode that Agatha's been part of.
They've done it in a lot of different shows, and including some of the CW shows like Angel, which Alexis Denisoff, who plays Adam, was on. I think he was part of the opening credits, but the guy who plays Lorne, RIP, was every bit as much as like a main actor toward the last seasons, and he wasn't included in there. So, I mean, it's weird. I mean, I think this is like, it maybe Adeline Rudolph, who plays Agatha, maybe her agent just struck a better deal.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Like I said, I have no idea. Like somebody somewhere out there, is going to might have the actual answer.
Hey, if you know, let us know, please.
Yeah, like what gives people certain billing over, you know, other people? So it's
like Prudence, I get, because she's way more, like, she has way more lines, she's way more impactful character, but I don't understand Agatha being in there and Dorcas not, or, you know, I wouldn't understand it the other way around either. But anyway. Sorry.
Anyways, no, it's okay. And I'm trying to remember what Hilda used to figure out who the fake Ambrose is, because I'm sure it was something like...
She asked about... She said, I was thinking... do you ever think about the celebration we had a couple... Or like 2 weeks ago for the passing of Vinegar Tom? And he's like, think about it all the time. And which, by the way, I think Vinegar Tom, I could be wrong, but I think that he's named after a cat character from Lovecraft stories that was not an appropriate name to use at all. let's just say it starts with the N-word.
But in this case, Vinegar Tom is Zelda's dead Basset Hound. I think it was a Basset Hound dog that she has stuffed out in the corner.
Yes. Oh, I forgot. But yeah, so then he says, yes, I think of it fondly. And she says, well, that was back when the Berlin Wall fell. Like that was years ago. And like really a glamour.
Yeah.
Turns out to be Agatha.
Yes. And then of course, there's fake Hilda comes in to persuade Ambrose to confess. And he says, like, okay, Auntie, I'll confess. But just a quick question. Like, do you remember, like, which was your favorite episode of Fawlty Towers? And she goes, oh, I love all equally. He goes, who are you? Yeah.
Because you Towers. Sure as heaven aren't my aunt.
Like, dude. Which also tells me in my mind that Ambrose loves Fawlty Towers.
It's canon now.
Yes. Well, because in my mind, it's like it must mean that A, he spent enough time like watching it and they would watch it together. Mm-hmm. And they've probably gone on back and forth about how like, oh, this is great. She's like, oh, it's just awful. He's awful or something.
In my head, it's because she had a tryst with John Cleese, and he broke her heart. I'm making that canon now.
Fair.
She's I like, won't go with that. Fawlty Towers.
She can only watch the non-John Cleese moments of Monty Python.
Exactly.
And also we kind of forgot that both Sabrina and Hilda, because they realized that Ambrose is basically going to be executed pretty much without a actual judge or jury, anybody hearing the case. So they call upon the council to
Trivium.
Yes. and to break the witch protocol, and they basically say, fuck off, there's no trial.
So. I feel like such a bad metalhead because there's this metal band called Trivium, but I always thought it was Trivium, and now this like episode's got me thinking, like, is it Trivium?
I don't
like, it looks like it should be Trivium, but whatever. But yeah, so they basically say, no, he's going to die. Don't ever call us again.
Yeah.
Deuces. But yeah, that doesn't work. And then later they show Aunt Hilda talking to Dr. C. Yay. Mm-hmm. He's back. Gate is back. Sorry for all you Battlestar Galactica fans. He's Gata. But she's telling him all about it. And she's like, I just hope that they're cruel enough to throw the bones at him. And he's like, wait, you're hoping that they throw the chicken bones at your nephew? And she's like, well, how else is he going to get this and make a skeleton key?
Yep.
So it turns out her subtle hinting was
yes, very important. And yeah, so obviously, you know, seeing him fails, but you know, Hilda did exactly what she was supposed to. And again, she is the rock of the entire family. But
she totally is.
Yeah. And well, during that time, so we're gonna go back to the very, very beginning of the episode, because something has happened. Yeah. And we're seeing the death of Lucas, who was Ambrose's or not Lucas, Luke, who was Ambrose's boyfriend, and he's like, well, where the hell is he? Like, what happened?
He's
and everything.
The one that lured him into the Proud Warlocks.
Yeah, the Proud Warlocks. Yeah. So we find out that Luke is being hung upside down, bloody, and he's being tortured to death by what looks
by
like
a
Mormon missionary.
By
what looks like a Mormon missionary. Let's be really frank. He's dressed like a Mormon missionary. And he's offering to save Luke's soul. And asking where the other witches of Greendale are. And Luke says they'll say, but you know, you're not going to get into this without a warlock, a witch or a warlock.
Yeah, you can't get into the academy without the hand, like only the hand of an initiated witch or warlock can get into the academy or can open the door to the academy.
And it's like, oh, lucky I have two, is how that ends. And of course, yeah. That's how Luke dies, is that he was captured by missionaries. And yeah, so
ain't that always the way?
That was 2 weeks ago. And now we're back in present day. So the missionaries come a knocking to a lot of different people's doors. So
if I had a dime for every time I was abducted by a missionary
or tried to be murdered by a missionary.
Yes. Ugh. And we're going to take a little break right now to hear from our friends at another podcast, a podcast that knows how to be short. I wonder what that's like. They're also good, so check them out.
Tired of the same old podcasts every week? When you're ready for something different, come give us a shot.
Greetings. We're technically a conversation, a podcast for curious people by curious people.
Every week, we take turns sharing a new topic, and the other host has no idea what the topic will be.
Our topics are all over the place, from light and funny to dark and sometimes spooky.
We've covered everything from true crime, historical events and people, pop culture icons, the supernatural and occult.
I like that.
And legends and folklore.
My favorite. We're like the Dollar Tree stuff you should know.
Except completely different. No matter what the topic is, we try to make the episodes funny.
Yeah, you may not want to advertise that. Our jokes aren't very good.
What are you talking about? My jokes are fantastic.
Hey, I get paid to laugh either way.
Wait, you get paid?
Check us out at technicallyaconversation.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Shout out to the 11 and a half people that listen to us on Google Podcasts. Wait, you said you were getting paid?
Okay, so what we have is we have Nick Scratch at Dorian's drinking himself to death. You know, we have Hilda and Dr. C hanging out at Dr. C's store. We got Sabrina at home. I'm setting up our set pieces because now we've got God, what's their freaking group called? It's like the Innocence Innocence something. It's
not the Innocence Project.
Yeah, no, that's a good thing. That's a good thing.
But they I can't remember.
Innocence. I'm like, I've got it up right now. I'm just pulling it up. Oh, the Order of the Innocence. Yeah, and they, again, all of them are dressed like Mormon missionaries. So there's your look. There's your look. And I was going to go like, wait a second, are all of them almost blonde too?
I thought he was redhead.
Possibly. Maybe like a strawberry blonde. Either way, so one appears at the a girl. And so this was a fun thing to do that we did before recording. It was, as we were looking up the, this is behind the curtain, as we were looking up each of the character names, we have Gideon. That's easy to say. And of course, I can't think of Gideon without now thinking of Righteous Gemstones, the oldest son Gideon.
Oh, yes! Which,
yes. This is not a fun Gideon. This is an asshole Gideon.
I was thinking of Only to Find Gideon's Bible. But okay,
we have Gideon who shows up.
I prefer Righteous.
I don't know. For me, the Gideon from Righteous Gemstones is definitely a nicer, more authentic to his following and religious teachings. Like, not somebody I'd want to like totally be friends with, but at least he's not a hypocrite like his dad. Anyways,
yeah.
But yeah, this Gideon shows up at Dorian's bar, and what happens is Nick is talking to Dorian, and suddenly Dorian has a humongous-ass fucking arrow through his throat.
Yes! I was thinking, like, they actually killed Dorian? Like, what? I should know better.
Nobody dies
because, in Sabrina.
Well, yes, and also I don't know if they've ever brought the fact that Dorian is Dorian Gray.
Yeah, right.
So
yeah, and it's like, I felt stupid after seeing that. I was like, oh right, duh.
Yeah, no, I'll admit, even like the first time I saw it, I was like, he's coming back. There's no, he didn't stab a portrait. He's coming back. Whatever it is that needs to, I can't remember how, you know, this goes in this, because they do kind of, they tweak the story just a smidge, but obviously, yes, there's still like a portrait of Dorian somewhere.
Well, I'm wondering if there's like, if the story of the picture of Dorian Gray doesn't exist in their world, because the witch hunter / missionary knows that that he is Dorian Gray. And yeah. Dorian pops up behind him and he's like, yeah, I'm kind of hard to kill.
It's complicated.
It's complicated. Much like the relationship between Solus and Lilith.
His relationship with mortality is complicated. Because, yeah, Nick is drunk off his ass and can't, vanish or teleport away. So he's trying to run away, and Dorian comes up and just stabs Gideon with an arrow. And, yeah, so that's...
As you do.
Yeah, as you do. and then you've got Hilda and Dr. C getting a visit from a girl, and again, this look behind the curtain on how you pronounce names. And we kind of came with Hidadel is the name of the girl missionary, and again, she's got that whole Mormon missionary or almost Catholic schoolgirl look going on. She's got that like plaid skirt and everything, and she basically gets ready to kill Hilda, and Hilda takes Dr. Cerebus's bracelet off that keeps his incubus in check, kisses him, and says, now go be a good little demon. And
yeah, she like makes out with him to get him all hot and bothered.
Yep.
She's like, go on, little demon. Like, take care of the witch hunter.
And then we've got Sabrina's at home, and this was the one that you and I had like a conversation back and forth, and I got Jerithemel is how,
and I got Jerithmeel.
Yeah, which I said that just sounds like a dirty name for that happens after you meet the Goblin King.
So I've had a Jerithmeel a couple times in my lifetime.
God. And he shows up at Sabrina's front door and is like, oh, like, it basically does act like the Mormon missionary thing. Like, oh, like, we want to talk about God. And Sabrina's like, no, thank you.
We already have a faith.
Yes. But he's like, oh, well, can I come in for some water? And I'm like, oh, yeah, this is how they get you.
Yes, exactly. Well, that's how serial killers get you, too. So,
you know. Yes. Like, before I go on my way, can I come in for some water?
You keep bottles of water. You say, one moment, close the door, lock it, go get the bottle of water, and say, here you go. Have a great day. Now, go away.
I feel like you've dealt with this problem.
Hey, I've lived this long for a reason. But sorry.
Yeah, and what's really interesting is that Sabrina is actually clearly having a crisis of faith, per se. So, you know, faith is a, you know, again, just, and it just has to do with the fact that, yeah, she was kind of told one thing about the Church of Night and how, oh, you're going to have all these freedoms and stuff. Not like the false gods religion and everything where, you know, it's, you're like, you're going to have all this freedom and you're like, you know, like, you get to live your own, you get to be yourself and women are free and stuff. And then she finds out, oh, no, there's still the same bullshit patriarchy shit in the, in witchcraft as there is in everyday life. So it's,
and she's still being like turned away from all of her witch warlock friends and her warlock boyfriend. And she's also being turned away from her, mortal friends, at least not Theo, but, Roz and, Harvey are both like, no, witches are evil. You've done some evil shit. Don't do, like, she says, I could do a spell to maybe bring your eyesight back, Roz. And she's like, no, witches did this to me. And basically, like, I don't trust you. You're a witch.
Yeah. And so at this point, it's like, if he was an actual, like, you know, missionary or cult leader, this would be the perfect time to convert her. But
yes,
he's not entirely looking to convert her unless it's, you know, convert then murder. So,
and yeah, she's asking him about, like, well, can't you can't ever be forgiven for some of the things you've done. And he says, but no, you can. That's what I'm telling you. Like, check out this handy dandy pan. Chris, it fries, it purifies. Jesus, check it out.
Watch this knife cut through stainless steel.
The ceremonial knife.
To be fair, he does pull out a ceremonial knife. But
he does.
At this particular point, you go back to Roz's kitchen with Roz and Harvey studying, and it's kind of this cute moment where she's listening to, again, more of the Children's Crusade on tape, and Harvey goes to help her turn the tape. She's like, no, I want to do it, which again is showing her Roz's desire to be as independent as possible.
Yeah. And her acceptance of her situation.
Yeah, no, Roz is, again, she is one of the strong characters that I like in this show, because she, even when she gets hit with something tragic, like losing her eyesight, she still tries to find a way to persevere over it, to sit there and go like, no, I'm not going to just sit around and do nothing about this. I'm going to find something that will help it so that I can cope, deal, survive, figure out life. So she has,
and she's a like a badass, like strong, independent bitch, because like, first, of course, she was like mourning the loss of her sight, and she tells Sabrina she didn't want to be in the classroom where she could just start crying or screaming or whatever, because, you know, she's trying to accept her loss of sight. Yeah. But now she's like, nope, this is my life now. I'm gonna learn to live with it.
Yeah. And it's, yeah. And so again, I love her character. There's only like one moment in season 3 where I'm just sort of like, really? You made her do that? not going to get to that part yet. I've been warning Linda that cringe is coming. Not as bad as 10th Kingdom cringe, but some cringe is coming.
I don't know. 10th Kingdom cringe is pretty hard to out-cringe.
Oh, yeah. No, it's hard to out-cringe, but think about some of the things that made you cringe about Riverdale cringe.
So yeah. She won't be singing a Queen song. Geared towards shearing sheep. Shearing
sheep. Won't isn't the word you want to use, although it's not Queen.
No!
You know, like almost every single WB and CW show and some of the other shows have like at least some musical.
They're going to have a musical episode, are they?
No. There's not a musical episode.
Okay. Oh.
gonna leave it at that. I'm not gonna let you know anything else because it's kind of giving it away now.
I loved it in Buffy. I loved it in Scrubs. Don't love it when it's done like Glee.
Anyways, so Roz reaches Eternal, the tape, but she ends up touching that charm. That charm that Sabrina gave her, and gets her, sees a vision of Sabrina lying dead in a puddle of blood, and Jaharathmeel, whatever, I don't care
anymore. JJ.
Yeah, I was going to say Mr. J. I was like, no.
Mr. J.
I was like, no.
Missionary J.
Missionary J. Standing over her with a knife, and Roz immediately goes to phone Sabrina and says, hey, is there a missionary there with you? And it's like, yeah. And she's like, get the fuck out of that house, Sabrina. And that's just when she turns around and sees Missionary Jay pull out a knife, and Sabrina books it, traps
him. He was about to give her the demo of the knife.
He was trying to show her he cut through steel and bone and flesh.
You see the soda can? Sorry.
Oh, those are still around, by the way. But anyways. Sabrina's able to escape, and she flees to Dr. Seuss, and she finds this humongous mess at Dr. Service's place, and Hilda's just like going like, ah. Oh. And she's basically like acting all like, you know, like just put out, going like, ah, oh, had to clean up this mess and stuff after, you know, like some random witch hunter came by and everything. But luckily for me, Dr. C was here to chase him off. And yeah, it's a cute little thing. But at the same time, then, you know, Nick Scratch comes in and says like, hey, somebody else has tried to kill me and we got a body. Dorian's holding him in a painting, which will come into play later on. But yes, but Dorian's holding him in a painting. And yeah, so they find out that, you know, they're going to go to the academy to basically try to murder all the witches and warlocks there. But at the moment, I don't know why. If they're going to execute Ambrose, let's be fair for a moment. If they're going to execute Ambrose, why do they need him to confess? If it doesn't matter whether he says yes, no. But for some reason, like, Prudence and is just obsessed with getting Ambrose to confess, that she gets a little witch warlock circle around to convince him to
compel him to do like a compelling spell.
Yeah, but it's like, why does this matter? They're going to execute him whether he says yes, no, or I had a team. You know, it's like, it doesn't matter, but they're doing this thing. And at that time, Ambrose has created his really awesome skeleton key. Gets out, and he's just about to leave when he opens the door, and there is the witch hunters at the door, and he just screams like witch hunters and just runs back into the academy. And for some reason, even like it's kind of interesting that Prudence takes that warning very seriously. Like, she doesn't sit there and it's like he's escaped and he's screaming for some reason to distract us. Like, no, there must be witch hunters, go hide. Because again, she didn't check to see like, oh, well, Ambrose is just being, you know, trying to hide us. Let's go find Ambrose. She actually just says like, okay, everybody hide. Like, immediately she takes Ambrose's telling the truth 100%, which is, it's an interesting it's just interesting. I found that really fascinating because you could have thought anything else, but like, oh, well, there's our prisoner going insane or something like that. Could have been anything.
And so, I kind of get the feeling that Prudence is just trying to get him to confess. So when Daddy Blackwood comes back, she could be like, and look what I did.
Yeah.
Like, I got him to confess. And now you can tell him.
Again, it's but I hear all of her efforts to impress Blackwood are just absolutely, you know, obviously for naught. It's
I think she needs to kind of hear it because she, you know, they've like fooled around before, and she just
Ambrose and Prudence.
Yeah, not Prudence and her ditty. No.
Okay. Sorry, when you're leaning upon the Blackwood, I was like.
Sorry. Context. Sometimes I forget to leave, like I leave out the proper nouns, the subjects of my sentences. But besides that, I think like, cause she just jumped over from I don't want to say good camp. I don't know, from like being on the Spellman side over to like, I'm ready to kill her baby brother over to, you know, to her daddy's side. So
yeah,
I think like in her mind, she has to hear him confess. So then she could say, well, like she can kind of consolidate that. Well, we killed him because he killed the, was it the Pope of Knight or Black Pope, whatever. Anti-Pope. There you go.
Yeah.
The anti-poop. He killed Ray Wise, so he deserved to die. I don't know. Maybe I'm looking too much into it.
And of course what happens is all, you know, Hilda and Nick show up, but also so does Harvey comes in comes to the house first before they head over to the academy, because, you know, he's like, look, you know, like Roz told me you're in trouble, and, you know, I'm sorry that we were being idiots for thinking that you could do anything. And so it's kind of like I'm sorry that we forgot to, sorry that we blamed you for everything. So, yeah.
And
so,
now he's insisting that he go with them to fight the witch hunters, even though he comes from a line of witch hunters. And Nick is kind of salty about it. Like, oh, your ex-boyfriend. Cool.
Yep. And which I was going to say, because I was trying to recall some of these things, because right now Father Blackwood still doesn't know that he has a daughter. So I was trying to when does he?
Okay. Besides Prudence, anyway. Yeah.
Yeah, besides Prudence. So she hasn't actually revealed that key point, because she knows also. Mm. That's the one thing where it's like, if you really want to, like, there's something she's clearly keeping to herself that are important and not telling.
Well, if she did reveal it, it might knock her down. And yeah, also, that would be admitting that she's been lying. So,
that's a lot of different reasons. Because you're talking about, like, you're like still back in his good grace. He's like, yeah, she's still keeping stuff from him. So it's, but
self-preservation.
Well, and so Nick and Hilda and Harvey and Sabrina go to the academy and find Ambrose falls out of the air. Can we be fair? Like, I think I had to go back a couple times to figure out, like, where the fuck did he come from? But it's like,
yes,
he was like hiding, like he was either like invisible, but he has like a knife. In my mind, with where that knife is, that is really fucking close to his heart.
Yes.
And so when Hilda pulls the knife out, so it's like, sorry, dear, this is going to hurt a bit. I'm like, leave it in.
But kind of made me think of the Family Guy, like, take it out or leave it in, or take it out, leave it in, or take it out.
put it back in. But clearly Hilda's just trying to do it like a healing spell to stitch up his wounds. And they find out also that they've taken them to the
First we should say though? Like at first the weird sisters are like
try to stop the missionaries,
like, yeah, literally magically kicking their asses. Yeah. And then the two remaining witch hunters / missionaries, and then they join hands and yes, and then they start turning the tables, and the weird sisters are not in good shape, and they say, the witch hunters say, well, we're special because we're angels.
Yes, they're angels in this thing, which... I want to say that it's explored a bit more in the fourth and final season, but again, not a lot. I'm still making notes of like what was tied up, what was left out, and what was just not like tied up well, like just rushed to the end. There's more a lot of that in the end in my mind than, you know, fully actualizing these characters as a being that exists within this world. That's because if you're going to say like, okay, these things exist in this world and you're just going to introduce them, can we please expand on them later? It'd be really awesome to know more about this, because like this also not only indicates that yes, obviously we know there's a Lucifer, there's demons and everything, okay, yes, there are angels, which means there is a god, which means that, okay, so what justifies this as a fault? I mean, there's questions that have come up, you know, like, what makes you not like this god? Okay, for these different reasons. And it's like, well, is he then more powerful than Lucifer? Because technically he is the creator of everything. So, or is there something else to that? Like, there's a lot of lore here that I want to know that I think probably could have gone covered just to even expand out the angel story. But neither here nor there. That's this, again, my chief complaint. I hope they make more comics to expand out the stories. As, you know, Robert Rodriguez has said he would. He said he would. God damn it. Anyways, so getting ahead of myself, and again, it's this, I think I knew going into any of these episodes I was probably going to reveal something about how I wish things went. But yeah, so they find out that they've locked up the Church of Night.
Wait, is Robert Rodriguez involved in the new Sabrina?
Did I screw up on that name? Can we cut that
out? I think you mean Robert... what is his name? Roberto Aguirre Sacasa.
Yeah, we're going to cut out those parts then. Because I can't remember names. What? I suck at names. Okay, I'm going to be really frank. I suck at remembering names, okay?
With my raging ADD, I just assumed heard and like just forgot or something.
No. I screwed up. Delete that. This is me knowing that I legitimately just suck at remembering names. Okay. So, anyways, no, I suck at remembering all names. It's why I have
you're
to
no
have
worse
them,
than
like,
I am
on the side just to like go like, okay, who the fuck was this again? But so, you know, and Sabrina's like somehow realized like, oh, I can actually enter because like I'm half and half, like I'm half witch and also half mortal, so they can't keep me out and everything. And Harvey goes with her, or at least says like, I'll come with you and everything. And he's just like, no, don't, just being a martyr basically. And in there you've got the weird sisters tied up to pyres basically, and the other like kids of the academy like being told to convert, and once they convert then they get killed, or they just get killed, so you know, a loving god. A loving god, loving angels. And
yeah, they want them to convert before they kill them, so that's neat.
Yeah, loving god. And they kill one witch, I think her name was like Estbel. It's a really strange name. So it's like Esthel. Like I can't pronounce names either. Again, we had to look up a lot of these names, figure out how to pronounce half of them. So, biblical names, names from biblical lore.
I don't know no Bible names.
I'm under the belief that just like in any fantasy book name, somebody just hit the keyboard and said, "That's a name." So, hi, a court of throne, a court of throne and glass, and a...
yes. And I just looked it up. It's Elspeth.
Elspeth. Yeah, it was like I read it as like Elizabeth, like a weird version of like Elizabeth, like Elspeth. Yeah. She refuses to convert, and she gets slaughtered. And then Melvin, used and abused all over the place, tries to convert. And because he has already been baptized into Church of Night, his skin starts to like break out in boils and everything. And Missionary Jay is trying really, really hard to get him to work through it. And, you know, Melvin like starts crying that he can't and everything. So it's poor Melvin. But then Sabrina comes in and, you know, tries to stop them, and they just shoot her through a pull of fucking arrows. And yep, she falls on the ground, dead, bleeding out. And Melvin makes a stand and says, like, "No, I'm going to die like Sabrina died." And
oh, he Melvin. Does.
Melvin.
Poor Melvin.
And they're just about to... There's a lot of poor Melvin later on, too. So, with a name like Melvin, suddenly.
Yeah, it makes me think of Toxic Avenger.
It just makes me think of, again, Family Guy, when it's like, Muriel, or like, Myrtle, where am I going to find a wife with a hotter name than Myrtle? That's what I think. I want to think of the name Melvin. Sorry to all the Melvins out there, but man, do they give the people, the characters who are dorky, the name Melvin way too many times? Like Sailor Moon, when they changed the Umino, the dorky kid with the glasses in the very first two seasons, they gave him an American name of Melvin too. It's like, that's what they do. In shows, it's like, for some reason, Melvin has to be the dorky kid who like can't do shit. He's the worst warlock of the academy.
Sorry. As opposed to worst witch.
Yes. Except he's not going to get to fly off with Tim Curry in the end.
If only we all could. Another like kind of unrelated thing. On IMDb, I noticed that Lachlan Watson, who plays Theo, they changed their profile picture, and they are freaking gorgeous.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I wasn't going to bring that up. I was like, God damn.
I know. Like, checking the age, making sure it's appropriate. Okay, yes, we are on.
I wasn't going to say that either. I feel like I'm not... I'm just going to pretend that I know
22 years old, check. Okay.
Okay, you're safe.
Gorgeous.
So gorgeous. Anyways, so they're just about to light the Weird Sisters pyres when the light goes out, and suddenly there's Sabrina. Well, and let's get into some minor symbolism here. Sabrina falls in a bloody heap in the shape of the cross. Okay, so the arms spread out. Well, she does. I mean, that's...
Right.
You know, it's very obvious, you know, not hidden symbolism, very, very reminiscent of like Evangelion type symbolism. Just, yeah, we're making it out to be. And, you know, she rises up and again, floating like Jesus, like dead on the cross. And I mean, even before that, they place thorns on her
head. Right, a crown of thorns.
To prevent her from doing a spell and stuff. And, part of the stab wounds also represent, I think the final one actually does represent the final wound delivered to Christ, upon his death, the spear. So again, we're leaning into stuff, which I think is going to become very obvious soon. And, So she's rising up and she just smolts the angels. She makes them first convert to the Church of Night somehow.
Smolts them.
Well, she smolts them. Like,
smolts. I thought she said molts, like a bird.
She
also kind of molts.
Well, she turns them molten too, and she smites / smolts them.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
They melt in fire ash, basically.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's, and then she also then brings
after
back,
getting them to do the to say the Dark Lord's prayer.
Yeah, converting to the Dark Lord, and then she also brings back Melvin and Elspeth. And yeah, so she performs miracles now, and she's fully up there, like eyes white. And Harvey comes in and looks, and yeah, she looks scary. You know, she's got no eye color except for white eyes and everything. And she's talking like this weird, like, echoey sort of voice.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much the end of the episode, is Harvey coming in. Oh, I forgot to mention one of my favorite parts of the episode. So I had to record this when I had to write this down. Because Harvey's just so wonderful. Because first off, you've got Ghost Child Quentin coming down and telling Sabrina and everybody where the witch hunters took the kit, students. And Quentin says, like, they tried to send us off, but we ran. All the children ran. All the ghost children ran. And Harvey just says, did he say ghost children?
Oh, Harvey.
And then he disappears. Like, did he just disappear? I'm sitting there thinking, like, again, you know, we're world building, and, you know, Harvey has to accept that there are witches in the world. Mm-hmm. And now he's getting another world building thing to his world, which is, oh, there are ghost children now. I'm sure would lead to a lot of questions, which is, why are there ghost children? Why is there a dead ghost child here? What happened to the children? Which, he doesn't know the whole story of that, and I don't think he'd be happy hearing it. So, but yeah, I just thought that was so funny, was that brief pause of, like, did he just say witch children or ghost children?
We just need him. We need him in this series. Like,
and even like, and also, like, I was gonna circle back also to just speak of other people we need. Dorian is a prick. Dorian is going to be a prick. He is the most chaotic neutral character you could possibly find, like, and you'll Fair. See that in the next episode. He is very, like, he's the epitome of chaotic neutral. He is antisocial, just everything. So, yeah, I don't know how else to explain, but he is fun. You know, just, he clearly has fun in his own little ways that's very destructive. But yeah, that's basically it. So,
yay!
One episode down, which is probably good. We only did one, even though I did watch two.
Well, it worked out time-wise. It worked out pretty well.
Oh, yeah. No, I need to go and do some stuff around the house, take care of Jane Jamerson Minor, you know, and make sure that Jane Jamerson third, Major, you know, takes care of his stuff. If we end up somehow miraculously having a third, I don't know where I can go with that. It's going to be the first, second, third at that point.
Small, medium, large? I don't know. And tall, with that being said, please, please listen, subscribe, rate, and review Bedknobs and Broomflicks on Apple Podcasts and all other podcast platforms. It helps us immensely. Remember, you could find us on Twitter at Broomflicks, and you could write to us at broomflicks@gmail.com. And you could check out our show at bedknobsandbroomflicks.com. There you can also check out Videorama and Cage's Kiss. You can also look it up by cageskiss.com. Finally, if you'd like to help support us and a local bookstore while purchasing a book or movie, please purchase through our affiliate page at bookshop.org /shop/broomflix. And I'd like to give another shout out to Technically a Conversation, our friends over at that podcast. They are amazing. You should definitely check out their podcast after listening to all of ours. but they really do have an amazing show, and they're very charming. So check it out. Also, the Chuds have returned. We did the old way a little bit ago. And next we will someday soon, hopefully. I guess it's like cat wrangling now, but we're going to be recording an episode on Renfield. Jane, where can the people find you?
You can find me digging deep, deep holes for reasons you don't need to know about.
Diggy holes?
Oh, no, not those diggy holes. These diggy holes have purpose. I'm watching a lot of Cinema Therapy lately, so...
You still have to send me that link.
I thought I did. Let's see if I did. It's like, it should be in Skype.
Oh, okay. I'll have to look. Yeah, Jane was telling me about an episode where they go over how Gomez and Morticia Adams have a very strong, healthy relationship.
Yeah.
And I want to check that out.
Yeah, watch... Okay, hi. They're not sponsoring us in any particular way, but I honestly fall in love with these guys. They're Cinema Therapy. I'm sure they have like a huge following, much bigger than ours, obviously. But you know, it's a great look into movies and also stuff. And they have this great episode on Gomez and Morticia basically being like one of the healthiest marriage relationships. Like in
and
cinema.
If you think about it, it makes sense.
No, it does. Sense. It does. I've been arguing for a while that Gomez and Morticia are kind of marriage goals. It's like, it's what they're into, but how they support and love each other and their family. It's like, no, they are freaking marriage goals.
It's true. I'd like to thank Doug Walters and Red Wire Black Wire for allowing us to use their song Compass. Check out their music. It's great.
Yeah. Awesome music. And next episode, we will continue on. We're going to wrap up the season 2 of Sabrina. So next week is an episode that I watched because I thought we were going to cover 2. But
sorry. Turns out we don't communicate.
Turns out I'm a dumbass thinking that too. Going like, wait, we already spent an hour talking about one.
We have to work on our communication skills. We should see the Cinema Therapy therapist.
Yeah, it's probably a good idea. We don't talk as much as we should.
Can you help us?
Anyways, we're going to talk about Chapter 18, The Miracles of Sabrina Spellman, which just a little spoiler alert, Zelda comes back. And that's all I'm going to say. Yeah, yay is a word.
Well, until then... What's that got to do with my knob? My missionary knob. Don't mess with the missionary knob. Yes,
my little monster.